12. Read first two verses. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, this is a transition point in the book of Romans. Paul spent the first 11 chapters emphasizing the doctrinal truth of salvation by grace. Not saying that he just spoke about doctrine in the first 11 chapters, but that is the emphasis, the obvious emphasis in the first 11 chapters. Chapter 12, beginning with chapter 12, the emphasis has shifted. It's not that he doesn't address any more doctrine at all, but the emphasis has shifted to the practical aspect of doctrinal truth. Now that order, and you see that order in all of Paul's epistles, but the order of the book, the transition illustrates that Christianity is not merely a teaching, it's a life. Yes, it involves a teaching, but it is a life based upon that teaching. It's not merely a way of thinking. It's a way of living. It's a way of behaving. Again, certainly it does involve our thoughts, but it doesn't stop there. It's a way of living. The transition also illustrates that Christianity is living in accord with doctrine, with doctrinal truth. So the order of the book illustrates that doctrine and living are not separate. They're not separate entities. They go together. Doctrine forms the foundation of this living. So our conduct as God's people has its basis in the conviction of doctrinal truth. And for the most part, people live according to their convictions, what they believe, how they view things. Someone who is unfaithful in their life to the Lord, it doesn't really matter how much they say they're convicted about truth, it's not so. Because if it was, their life would be in accord. Our life is in accord with what we believe. So if there is a lack of conviction, if there is a lack of assurance of biblical truth, and that's where conviction comes from. It's the assurance. I know this is so. If there's a lack in these areas, there's going to be a failure in the life, a failure to live. So our text lays out some very specific traits of Christian living. The text teaches us that Christian living is a devotion and a commitment to God. It says, present unto God. That's devotion. That's commitment. It is a life that is all-encompassing. A living sacrifice. It is a life that involves self-relinquishment. is a life that is set apart for God, that is seen in the word present. It is also seen in the word holy. It is a life that is according to God's ways. It is acceptable unto God. The only thing acceptable unto God is that which is in accord with His will. That which is in accord with His way. So this is a life that is acceptable unto God. All other lives are unacceptable to God. It is a life of personal service. It says your service. And the Greek word for service is latria. And the word means worship. Worship. It is a life of worship, which means that it is a life of reverence to God. It is a life of exalting God. This is the Christian life. This is true Christian living. And all of that is reasonable. It's all reasonable. That is, it's logical. But even more important than that, it's heartfelt. It comes from the heart. Our text also reveals that true Christian living involves separation. That was the emphasis this morning, be not conformed to this world. It's a nonconformity to the world. You cannot live this life and be conformed to the world. And it is a life of transformation and renewal. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So that all of that pretty much describes Christian living. And it all results, if you live that way, the result is it demonstrates and displays the approved will of God. Notice verse 2. He tells us all these things that we're to do. And then the second part of verse 2, you find that word, that. Do all of these things, that. That is in order. In order so you can do this. Ye may prove. To prove is to manifest. To display. That you may, by your life, manifest and display what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is a life that is approved by God. It is God's will for us to live this life. Now in verse 2, Paul gives command, be not conformed to this world. And that is a command by way of warning, which is indicative of a danger. Be not. So there's a danger. There's a threat. The danger is the world. The threat is the world. The danger is that we comply with the world. That we adhere to the world's ways. That we begin to accept the world's ways and the world's thinking. That we begin to fall in line with the world. We begin to yield to it. That we begin to surrender to its way of thinking, to its ways. So the danger is that we would be governed, molded, and shaped by the world. That's a real danger. It's always been a danger. It becomes more so, as we said this morning, the further we move into the last days, the greater the danger becomes. These words, be not conformed to this world, present the world as an opposition to this life that has been described. It presents the world as antagonistic to this life that is being described. It presents the world as a detriment to this life that is being described, the life that the saved are to live, the life that is acceptable unto God, the life that is according to God's will. The world is in opposition to that life. The world is a detriment to that life. It presents the world as a relentless force. That's why we have to be reminded every day, conform not to this world. We need to tell ourselves that every single day, conform not to this world. The world is a relentless force in its attempts to bring into conformity. Now the world, as pretty much as a whole, just kind of falls in line. But with God's people, there's to be resistance. There's to be a conscious effort not to fall in line with the world. So the question is, how do we escape this conformity to the world? We just go live in a cave? I mean, how do we escape this conformity to the world? How do we avoid becoming assimilated into the world's way of thinking? And it can happen without you hardly even noticing it. And it does happen. So how do we avoid these things? And that's our subject. Preventing and maintaining nonconformity. I mean, if you are not conformed, you need to maintain that. And you maintain it the same way you prevent it. Preventing and maintaining nonconformity. The truth is, we prevent and we maintain nonconformity to the world by simply living the life that is explained and detailed in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. That's how we prevent it. That's how we maintain it. We have to live this life. So we want to notice the details of this life. We have to be overcome with the blessings, the riches, the reality of our salvation. That has to be real to us. Again, Paul emphasized in chapters 1 through 11 the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy, the goodness of God in saving a sinner. For 11 chapters, 300 and some verses, the emphasis is the riches and the glories of God's saving grace. And then at the end of chapter 11, these verses we read this morning, it's as if he's overcome by the blessings of such. And he states what he states there in Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. And that's the attitude and the spirit that flows into chapter 12. Salvation was very real to Paul. You cannot read his epistles without realizing that here is a man who realized salvation every single day. And I believe that's necessary if we're not to conform. It's certainly necessary if we're going to live this life that is being described. Remember the psalmist asked in Psalm 116 and verse 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me?" And Paul answers that question here in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. He answers what we're to render unto God. So to prevent and maintain nonconformity to a wicked, godless world, be always conscious of God's amazing grace and abundant mercy in saving our hell-deserving souls. Let salvation be so real to us. Paul says, I beseech you by the mercies of God, or I beseech you in view of the mercies of God. In other words, live in the awareness and the reality of the most astounding, the most awesome, the most incredible, phenomenal, mind-boggling miracle that there is. The salvation of your soul. You think about that every single day. I'm saved. To prevent and maintain nonconformity to this world, you need to be absorbed and taken up with this fact, the Lord saved my soul. I'm a child of God. It's necessary that we never lose the wonder. We never lose the thrill and the excitement of the blessings of salvation. Because that's our foundation. That's our foundation for living this life. We're saved. No one can live the life that is described here if they're not saved. You have to be saved to live this life. And if you're going to maintain this life, you have to be constantly aware, I'm saved. God in His grace, God in His mercy, has saved my soul. We're to live our life correspondent to God. We're to live our life correspondent to the blessings of salvation. If we are not overcome with the blessings of salvation, we're already being conformed. We're already conformed to the world. If we can neglect the fact that we're saved, I don't care if it happened 70 years ago, it ought to be fresh to us every single day. And if it isn't, we're going to conform to the world. With that in view, it leads us to our second detail of this life. With the mercies of God in view, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Who is it that's going to do that? The one who is overwhelmed with the riches of God's grace in saving their soul. Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God in gratitude for the mercies of God. In gratitude for God's saving grace, give yourself with all that you have to God. That's what he's saying. And this is a life that is approved by God. This is a life that is according to the will of God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That is motivated, it is spawned by the riches of God's grace bestowed upon us. Now there are several things necessary for us to present ourselves unto God. First of all, we have to realize who God is. We're not going to present ourselves unto God if we have no idea of who He is. So it implies living with a knowledge of who God is. And you cannot present yourself unto God if you're not aware of His presence. So this life also includes an acknowledgement of His presence. So we know who God is. We feel His presence. And in view of God's mercy and grace bestowed upon us, and in view of who He is, we acknowledge that God has every right and every claim upon my life. That's the life we're to live. And if we even have a moment where we begin to doubt that God has every right and every claim to our lives, then we begin to think the world has some right, the world has some claim. The world has no right on my life. The world has no claim to my life. It is relentless in its efforts to get me to conform, but the world has no claim upon us. But God has every right and every claim upon our lives. And we have to realize that if we're going to prevent conformity to the world. Realizing that, there is a spirit of humility. We're humbled. Viewing the mercies of God, it humbles us. Viewing who God is, viewing God's rights and God's claims, that brings humility. But it also brings love and thanksgiving toward God, which enables us to present or to give ourselves to Him. If nonconformity is to be prevented, this must be our life. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. So what is that? What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it means something that none of us have ever fully done. Never. It is absolute 100% surrender to the Lord. The earnest and fervent call for the saved by grace is basically just like in the Old Testament, they would bring the animal, they would put it on that altar, and then what would they do? They let go. They let go. That's what we're to do. We're to lay ourselves before God, let go. The world has no claim. I have no claim. We just let go. We give up everything to the Lord. We relinquish everything to God, to His possession, to His claim upon us. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. This is the life that we're to live. It means that we are to be committed to God, dedicated to God, submitted to God, confined in the totality of our being to the Lord. It is complete. An entire resignation of our lives. A living sacrifice. A sacrifice in life. It is a call for you and I to lose sight of ourselves. And again, what is the religion of the world that tries to conform us? Self! If we're going to not be conformed, we must lose sight of self. and be entirely absorbed with God. So this is a call to focus upon God. It is a call for God to be the passion of our lives. It is a call for God to be the desire and the longing and the yearning and the purpose and the priority and the aim and the aspiration of our life. That's how we prevent conformity to the world. What is being described here is a life that is about God. It is a life with a heart for God. Again, it's a call to commitment. It is a call to allegiance to God. The way to prevent conformity is to realize I owe no allegiance to this world. I do not owe allegiance to the world. We owe all allegiance to God. And whatever and whoever else might have some claim in our lives, God, allegiance to God supersedes it. That's our first allegiance. Well, it's my mom. Your first allegiance is to God. Well, it's my dad. Your first allegiance is to God. That's what Jesus taught on discipleship, that we must be willing to deny father, mother, brother, sister. It doesn't mean we neglect them. It means that our priorities are in order. God must be first. And if He isn't, we will be conformed to the world. So this is foundational. Present yourself a living sacrifice. Why? Why should I? Because of the mercies of God. Because of the mercies of God. Because God saved your soul. Present yourself unto Him. Nothing in our lives is to be off limits to God. This is a call that is far-reaching. It's extensive. It includes every aspect, every detail, every circumstance of my life. Nothing is to be off limits. None of my plans, nothing. This is how we prevent conformity. I'm all yours. I'm all yours. Lord, I've taken my hands off of it. I'm all yours. Whatever it is you want me to do, whatever it is you want to do to me, I am simply a sacrifice unto God. This is absolutely necessary. If we're going to live this life, it's part of this life. And here we are in a day when so many who profess to be saved can just shrug off God. And just shrug Him off. You can't do that if salvation is real. I'm not saying the people that shrug them off that they're all lost. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if we're consciously aware, God saved my soul. You can't shrug. You just can't shrug God, the one off that saved you. But we live in a day when people just shrug off God. They shrug off the message of God. They shrug off the day of God. They shrug off the church of God. They are conformed and they are being conformed to this world. And they're satisfied with spiritual mediocrity. But the one who's living this life, no matter how close to God we get, we know we can get closer. And we're not satisfied. But there's an awful lot of people who profess to be saved who are satisfied with spiritual mediocrity. They're satisfied with hypocrisy. They've been hypocrites so long they don't even know that they're a hypocrite. They're satisfied with mechanical religion. But the one who's aware, he saved me. The one who views life in through the lens of the mercies of God, they can't be satisfied with these things. Oh, how we need to hear and feel the pressing urgency of these words. Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Put self on the altar. It's absolutely necessary in order to prevent nonconformity and to maintain it. We are conforming and being conformed. How do we know if we're being conformed to the world? Well, really, it's not that difficult. It's a matter of admitting it. But one way to know whether or not we're conforming to the world is do we present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God? Because if you don't, you're conformed. You are conforming. And again, this isn't just a couple hour thing or a couple of days. This is lifelong. It's continual. When we stop presenting ourselves unto God, the process of conforming begins. So this is an absolute necessity. Thirdly, we need to move in the direction of God. It says, present unto God. It's you and I moving in the direction of God. The truth is, we're moving in one direction or the other. We're either moving in the direction of God or we're moving in the direction of the world. In our every circumstance, in our every care, in our every concern, in our every burden, in every difficulty that comes our way, in every problem that comes our way, every trial that comes our way, every temptation, every battle, and every struggle, every doubt, every emotion that we feel, in whatever place we be in, there is a God. There is a God, and in Him there is light, there is strength, there is rest, there is joy, there is fulfillment, there is encouragement, there is assurance, there is stability, there is security, there's courage, there's peace, there's victory. There's that which is lovely and beautiful and meaningful. Move in the direction of God. Whatever the circumstance, whatever emotion you are feeling, move in the direction of God. That is how we prevent conformity to the world. It's how we maintain it. Everything in this world fights against you and I moving in the direction of God. Everything is aimed at getting us to move in the direction of the world rather than the direction of God. And it's two different directions, by the way. Move in the direction of God. Keep moving in the direction of God. No matter what you're feeling, move in the direction of God. Because if you don't, the process of conforming starts. And that's what we're to prevent. We are conforming and being conformed to this world if we're not moving in the direction of God. Lastly, he says, be not conformed to this world, but something contrary. Something opposite. Contrary to conformity to the world, be, there it is again, present tense, a state of being or existence. Be being transformed. Transformed. That means to be changed. That's an ongoing process. Continually put on another form other than the world. Be transformed. It is a transfiguration into the image of Jesus Christ. We're either becoming more like the world or we're becoming more like Christ. Someone says, well, my mind's pretty well balanced. You're deceived. You cannot serve two masters. If you think it's balanced, you are conformed to the world. We are to transform into the image of Christ. So the truth is, we are either becoming more like the world or more like Christ. We're becoming something. Every single day, you and I are becoming more of something. And it ought to be more of Christ every day. What is being described here, be ye transformed, is we're to live our life in relation to Christ. So personal examination is necessary. What do we live in relation to? I mean, look at your day. What are we living in relation to? Is it the world? Or is it the Lord? Be ye transformed. That's a life impacted by Christ. Again, we need to ask ourselves, what is it that most impacts my life? What is it that most impacts my life? What is it that's going to upset me more than anything else? What is it that has the most impact upon my life? Be ye transformed. That means be lifted above the world. Don't be conformed to it. Be lifted above it. Be raised above it. Be lifted and raised above the norm. The world is the norm. We're not to be conformed. But we're to be transformed. We're to be raised above. And there must be this ongoing transfiguration in the Christ-likeness if we're going to prevent nonconformity and maintain it. We must be saturated with Jesus Christ. And what do we mean by that? What does it mean to be saturated with Jesus Christ? That means that Jesus Christ is in all of our interests, all of our ways. He's in our feelings. He's in our viewpoints. He makes up our goals and our choices. He's in our plans. He's in our attitudes. He's in our marriages. He's in our homes. He's in our hopes. He's in our expectations. He's in our pursuits. Christ, be ye transformed. The more of Christ that is in our lives, the less we are drawn in by the world. So again, be ye transformed. And again, we must ask ourselves, how much of Christ is in my life? But perhaps we need to ask another question. I don't need to just ask myself how much of Christ is in my life. How much of Christ do I want in my life? How much of Christ do I want in my life? Do I want Christ to be in every single aspect of my life? Do I want Him to saturate every single aspect of my life? How much of Christ do I want? You see, if we don't want Christ in some areas of our life, what is it that we want in place of Him? The world. The world. There's going to be conformity. I've had people tell me, church and work are separate. My religion, as they'll put it, is separate from this, 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 this. They have everything in a box. That's not Christian living. And that individual is conformed to the world, and they're just deceiving themselves. You cannot dissect Christianity and put it in your little, in our little boxes. Doesn't work. So how much of Christ do we want? How much of Christ do I want in my day? Well, I don't want to be a fanatic. That's exactly what you are to be. That's exactly what we're to be. Well, I don't want to go overboard. No one's in danger. But that ought to be our desire. How much of Christ do we want? Be ye transformed. That is a life of victory. To be transformed is victory. And it is a vital necessity if we're not going to be conformed. You and I can hear preaching. We can enjoy preaching. But if there is not, we can agree with it, but if there is not an inward transformation that takes place when we hear the Word of God preached, we will be conformed to the secular. Outwardly, we're just going through the motions, but if it doesn't do something to us inwardly, we're being conformed. And the reason some people have trouble sitting and listening to preaching is because their mind is where? The world. They're conformed. It works against everything. Be ye transformed. How do we accomplish that? How is it accomplished? Well, it says, by the renewing of your mind. So this transfiguration takes place through the process of renewal. So we have to ask another question. How does that take place? How does this renewal take place? Because we need the renewal if we're going to be transfigured. Here's how it takes place. Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Every time you do that, you're renewed. Every single time. You ask most people, well, how is renewing of your mind? How does that take place? And they'll say, well, you need to read your Bible more. Well, that's nothing wrong with that. The people read their Bibles all the time and not be renewed. Not have their minds renewed. That's not a guarantee that your mind's going to be renewed. Here's a guarantee. You present yourself a living sacrifice unto God, and now you're in the place. You're now in the place of renewal. You can't be backslidden presenting yourself unto God. This is where the transformation, this is where the renewal takes place. So in closing, the command by way of warning is be not conformed to this world. And we see in our text ways to prevent and maintain nonconformity to the world. We must live in the awareness, the reality, I'm saved. And as we've said before, and He saved me. I'm saved, and He saved me. That automatically leads to the next thing. We give ourselves as a sacrifice in life. Always moving in the direction of God. You realize how dangerous it is just for a minute to move in the opposite direction of God. That 1 minute you can ruin your life. We must always be moving in the direction of the Lord. Having more and more and more of Christ in our lives. So we have to examine ourselves. To what degree do the blessings of salvation impact my life? To what degree do those blessings impact my life? How surrendered to God am I? You say, well, I'm surrendered in everything I can think of except for one. Then that one thing ought to concern you deeply. I guarantee you there's more than one. To what degree are we moving in the direction of God? How much of Christ is in our lives? How much of Christ do we want in our lives? Oh, we need to feel the urgency and the importance of this plea here in Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's really the need of the hour. What we read here is the need of the hour. People say, well, our church needs this, or they need this, this person needs this. Here's what you need. Present yourself to God, a living sacrifice. If everybody would do that, if all of God's people, if everyone in a body of Christ would do that at the same time, all the blessing that would come down upon us. It's the need of the hour. So, oh, I pray that we would feel the urgency of being committed to God. Want your marriage to be better? Commit yourself to God. Want your life to be better? Commit yourself to God. Commit and dedicate to God. That we would encourage one another to do that. That we would never do anything that would discourage someone from committing and dedicating their lives to God. Don't ever make fun or joke about someone who's serious about the Lord. We ought to do everything we can to encourage one another to be more serious. Most of us here are serious about God. But is there any of us that can't be more serious? We can all be more serious. We can all be more committed, more dedicated. We cannot We cannot afford to be conformed to this world. It'll destroy us. It will destroy. It'll destroy us individually. It'll destroy us collectively. And the way not to be conformed is to live this life that is described. It sums up the Christian life. I mean, it's a summation of what we're to do, how we're to live. Every day, Lord, here am I. Whatever it is, God, that you want today, here I am. And because of our sinful flesh, you might have to say it again in 15 minutes. Lord, here I am. I'm all yours. Just tell me, direct me, show me. But I'm all yours. And if we don't do that, we get caught in the current of the world. Doesn't take any strength to go with the current. None. Most are going in the current. It takes strength to go against the current. And that's what we're to do. Constantly. Going against the current. Well, I'm getting tired of all the battles. Well, let me tell you something. I understand people get tired of the battles, but you can't afford to be tired. You can't afford to be so tired that you quit fighting the battles. We may get tired, but rest is coming, but it's not now. It's coming. But right now, we have to keep going. We have to keep resisting the conformity of the world. And we have to help other people resist being conformed to this world. God help us to live this life. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.